It's another side that, like, wants to take more. It wants to go that one more round. Because, like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another episode of One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today is Katie and Kyle. How are you two doing today?
Fabulous. How are you?
Good.
Crushing depression. I mean, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I can't be better.
Before we get rolling, has anyone seen the Creed 3 trailer? Did anybody watch it by chance? Katie, did you watch it?
I did.
You both watched it. Okay. Katie, what is your thoughts on the trailer?
Overall, I would say looks pretty predictable. However, I think it'll be good. I think it will be an enjoyable watch because of Jonathan Majors. I think he is the reason to watch this. Like, his character, he is just going to steal every scene, in my opinion. He's the reason to go to the movie. I'm a big fan of Little Tony. He reprises his role. The storyline looks where they are and the daddy daughter, and it's all pretty predictable, but I think it will be enjoyable. I don't know if I will go to the theater for it, but yeah, it'll be fine.
My general feeling as I watched it is I felt good. Like, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I wasn't rolling my eyes, or I wasn't disappointed that, you know, you don't see Sly in it, of course. I actually felt good, so that was good. It passed that test. My first impression was it gave me a bit of a Rocky III vibe. You have the champion. I think it's 7 years or something like that. He said it was a long time, so he'd been winning fights, and, you know, he said, come on, I've had 10 title defenses or whatever. And you have this guy who just recently gets out of jail, is hardened and tough, and he's hungry and he wants it bad. That guy kind of gave me a little bit of a Clubber vibe, although there's a big difference because they know each other and they were initially getting along, but it has a lot of the same themes of Rocky III that I see, which I did say about the last Creed film too, but I think it'll be okay. I never go to the theater. Katie had mentioned maybe not going to the theater. I've been to the theater, I think, once since the pandemic started. So I might just go see it in the theater because I haven't been in so long.
You have not seen it, have you?
No, I haven't watched the trailer. I've seen a little bit of headlines, people's comments here and there. And there's a reason. I don't watch trailers in general. I don't seek out trailers, even with actors or especially movies that I'm interested in seeing. So I'll rarely watch a trailer because either A, I already know, like, for example, Brad Pitt's latest film, Bullet Train. I'm a huge Brad Pitt fan. And I haven't seen the trailer for it. I just know I'm going to watch it. Like, I already know I'm going to watch it when it's on streaming. Like, I think it's actually coming on streaming very soon. So that's how I operate. So films or actors where I already know I'm going to see it, I don't want to see any spoilers, footage, anything. So Creed 3, believe it or not, people, despite my reservations or Sly not being in, I've always said I was going to see the film. I've never not said I was going to. There are people in the Rocky camp who refuse, I won't say any names, but people close to our network, other podcast hosts of other podcasts, that's the only hints I'll give. They've been very, even some of the guest hosts I've had on my show, some notable names, they are vocal about, screw this, I'm not going to watch it. And I'm like, you say that, but there's no way you can be a Rocky fanatic and still not see this film. It's like the Andor series on Disney Plus right now. But anyways, the point I'm trying to say is that it's a Star Wars universe film, but it doesn't have Luke. Doesn't have Darth Vader in it, maybe, or whatever. It doesn't have Han Solo or whoever, but people still watch it because they enjoy the universe. I would be very surprised if some of these hardcore Rocky nuts never, ever watch Creed 3.
Hate watch it.
Sure, you can hate watch it. And that's the thing, and I've said before again, I want it to do well. I don't understand. There's people in the Rocky camp that almost want it to fail. I think they're the same people that aren't going to watch it. My hope is that it does do well critically and at the box office because it is still part of the Rocky universe. Like, people will see this and they'll still say, I've seen all three Creed films. Now I'm bored. I want to go watch the Rocky films. And there was people that saw Creed 1 and 2 who did not see the Rocky films, who went back and watched the Rocky films. So there's people there, Michael B. audience fans, who saw the Rocky films after watching Creed because Creed was so good. Creed's 1 and 2 were enjoyable films that people actually went back again and watched the Rocky films. Imagine if the Creed films sucked. People would be like, well, I don't want to watch this Rocky guy because these films suck. So you want Creed 3 overall to do well. Now, it will be interesting not seeing Sly. Obviously, the 7-year jump, I didn't even know about it. Again, I've heard people talk, so it's like, it's sort of spoilers for me because I purposely don't watch trailers. So I don't want to know anything, but it's so hard to avoid any kind of like chatter. So I heard about the 7-year jump. So I think the reason why there's a 7-year jump, it's twofold, is my guess. I don't know if the trailer shows anything regarding Rocky, but my guess is Rocky is dead in this universe. There's a time jump, which would, in Rocky's lifespan, is he still alive at the age of 84, 85, that he'd be in this universe? Cancer probably got him or something. So I think it's enough of a jump to eliminate the Rocky. This is why Rocky's not in the picture. He is gone.
Dead. I hope not. He is referenced.
Okay. He is referenced.
But it doesn't. Yeah, he's referenced, but I don't know. I really hope that I hope there's another reason. I hope he's just like in Vancouver with Milo. You know, so I hope that's why.
Sly was really pissed off on Twitter. Erwin Winkler talked about this in previous episodes.
Yeah.
I had this thought the other day when I saw the trailer. Say they did kill the Rocky character and someone leaked that to Stallone. If they knew that, but got him so pissed off.
It's a good theory. Yeah.
It is a good theory.
I know Sly would never let Rocky die. Yeah, I think Sly always likes to have something in his back pocket just in case for later. That's the vibe I get from him.
Maybe now, but when he wrote Rocky V, he wrote Rocky's death in that film. It was actually the studio that stopped it, Erwin Winkler, because Erwin saw the money. They told Sly, you don't kill Batman, you don't kill James Bond, you don't kill Rocky. That's what they told Sly in 1990.
That's true, but a lot has changed since then.
I don't know what it is today, but his feelings as a 45-year-old in 1990 were, I'm done with this character.
Yeah.
So enough that he's going to kill him on screen. Apparently, he was going to die in the ambulance ride with Adrian holding him in the back of the ambulance. That was the death scene. He wrote it. They filmed it or something. They got close to it or something. Like John G was on board with it. John G. Elvison, everyone except for the studio, Erwin Winkler, because they own the product, so they can veto any idea that Sly has.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. It comes out in March. I will be watching on streaming, though. I should have said that. I won't be watching in the theaters. I'm not a theater guy in general. I actually just went to the theaters, as I say this, for the first time in a long time last week. Well, it was my son's birthday in the middle of the month, and he wanted to see Halloween with his old man. You know, he's a teenager. He goes, Dad, you want to take me to the Halloween movie? Because he likes watching those, and he watched the new trilogy on streaming. And I said, yeah. So I watched the final Halloween movie with him, Halloween Ends.
Oh, is this the last one with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah, it's over.
Okay.
I only like the VIP part of the theater. That's the only one I'll go to now.
Yeah, the theater was fairly empty because it was a middle of the day watch or whatever. Fun film, by the way, if you want to see it. If you like the Halloween films, it's a fun original. I think it might surprise people, and I think some people were surprised because it doesn't have a lot of Michael Myers.
Oh.
The reason why I like this is because it was different and original. I've already seen 100 Michael Myers films in the sense of I get what he can do, so it's kind of nice to see a different kind of twist on it. Why not? Okay. They were brave with this one, and I actually appreciated their brave take. I appreciate it.
I got to step out for a second. You guys just keep going.
Okay. While Kyle's stepping out, Katie, do you want us to read the one email we got? We got one email.
Certainly. Subject is Rocky versus Zombies. Hi there. Thanks for all the content. Sadly, I've not been able to make the Discords as I keep missing the reminders being in UK, but I'm enjoying it on YouTube or Audible. I'm a filmmaker. I emailed about Lost Angel, which I directed. I also produced and edited parts of a zombie film. Hopefully you won't find this sacrilegious. It's just a bit of fun. As I was watching a bunch of zombie films for research, I decided to have some editing fun with Rocky and attached a 2-minute video. Wishing you all the best and thanks for the great podcast. Kind regards, Simon Drake. Oh my God, did he put together like a Rocky zombie?
It's pretty clever. I think he combined, I'll explain it for our audio listeners, but for those who are interested, if you come to our, in the show notes, there's a link to our Facebook page and there'll be a link to our Twitter account. I'm going to post this video for Simon in those respective.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Yep. So, and I thought about even showing it for the YouTube viewers, but I was like, because then it'll play out for the, yeah, it's hard to explain. It won't translate. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what it is, I'll set up the scene here. What it is for our audio listeners is it's Rocky running in Rocky 2, and he's edited the sound effects of zombies for the kids. So when the kids are chasing Rocky through the street, it's zombie sounds and it's scary music. It looks like and sounds like the kids are zombies chasing after Rocky. And then he intercut scenes from World War Z, I think, with the zombies running through the streets with the aerial cam shot. It shows zombies kind of running fast through the streets. So he edited World War Z with the sounds and effects from that film. And then when Rocky gets to the top of the stairs and he's like cheering and the kids are around him, he inserted the audio edit of zombies eating people and Rocky screaming. So that,
oh my god, that's cute. That's a cute idea.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not sacrilegious at all. I do not worship at the altar of Rocky, where it created memes throughout the years. Yes, it's fun. It's fun to make fun of things that you love. So it's very Halloween-esque as Halloween approaches us very soon here. I will share it again on our Twitter and on our Facebook. And Simon's, yeah, he's a filmmaker. He watches us on
That's
YouTube
awesome.
Too.
Which is, this all makes me feel like I've gotten so much less ambitious as I'm getting older. And I'm like, God, that seems like a lot of work. You know?
Well, it's his job, editing and working on film, so he just did a little thing like that. So good for him. Appreciate you listening, Simon. We appreciate everyone's in our Discord. We'll give a shout-out to everyone in our Discord. We've got about, I think, 7 or 8 people, I think, watching us live as we record. Again, join our Discord. It's free. You get to watch us, all the pre-edit stuff, so to speak, the mistakes, you know, Kyle shutting his camera, things like that. All the stuff that I edit out for the iTunes show. Also, watch us on YouTube, because if you go to YouTube, you get to see the scenes that we're reacting to, so you get to see and watch, like a watch along with us, like a video commentary, so you get to watch that on YouTube if that interests you. But a lot of people know the film so well they can almost just visualize it as they hear it. And I'm surprised YouTube never blocks it.
It's not like you're playing the whole film, right? You're just playing parts of it.
You're right. I'm not showing the whole film unaltered. And blocking isn't like you're getting in trouble. It's just there's algorithms on YouTube that if you play something long enough too, it'll be like, oh, you're not supposed to, that's copyright claimed or something. So you'll get a claim, which is fine. The claim just means the company gets all the ad revenue. So they're like, yeah, you can show our show on TV. That's how reaction videos do it. If you show our music on your YouTube channel reacting to it, that's fine. Knock your socks off, but we're taking the ad revenue. That's how they work that out. So that was our email. Oh, yeah, we've got a couple new patrons. We want to thank our new patrons that have joined and are giving me some help, and I appreciate that. It does pay for the feed that I use monthly to get these shows from the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network out there. And it gives me a couple bucks and buys me a cup of coffee for the hours of editing I do every week for this entertainment that you guys enjoy. Hopefully that you enjoy. Okay. So I do appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
That's it. That's Creed 3 news. Jennifer and Sly are still together.
I have something that I would like to showcase.
Right. Yes, please.
Thanks to this network. Hang on. I have something.
Oh, live show here, folks. What the?
You see?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, human butt kiss. Cool.
That is that a John Rivoli painting?
Yes.
That is gorgeous. I've seen that, but you got, so explain how that got to your, explain how that got to your hands.
I have been talking like incessantly about how much I love Butkus and that part of the film, and we just covered that scene, and then John Rivoli posted that he'd recently done a Butkus piece of art.
Yes.
And shared it on this show's Facebook channel. I was like, oh my god, I think I might need to buy that one. I went, I bought it. There's multiple sizes. My sister literally texted me as I was completing my order. She's like, I think I need that. So she ordered it too.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you for supporting John and his incredible artwork. And it's a beautiful painting.
It's my favorite one. I mean, I love all of the other ones, but I love that scene in particular. And yeah. Also, you get like a shit ton of royalties from that, right? I'm teasing.
Yes, that's right. the One More Round podcast.
Like a kickback.
Can you imagine? All proceeds and money goes towards John and his incredible talent and artwork. And that's a beautiful painting. Good size, too. I can see why you would obviously love that. You being a big fan of that type of dog and animals in general. And Rocky being an animal lover, it's perfect for you. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to get one of him punching meat in the meat house. I want slaughtered meat. I want to pitch. All right. Well, this is exciting. We are now going into... Today's basically the training sequence day. This is a big recording day. But before we get to that, we have a little bit of a moment of rocking the ring with Mickey.
Okay, now when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I've waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid.
Did he say 50 years in Rocky's apartment when he's talking about how long he's been in this racket for? Was it 50? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's 76 years old, so he's 26. He's been waiting since he was 26 years old to get Rocky ready for this fight.
Makes sense. He's been destined to do this. All the knowledge that he's accumulated since over the last 50 years has now culminated into him being able to train his protege, someone with the talent to beat Creed. And I think Mickey isn't bullshitting. I think he really believes that Rocky's going to do well against Creed.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think it's something that's not talked about a lot when it comes to the Rocky discussion. And you don't hear very much, but I think Mickey, unlike the audience, and maybe involved, we know Rocky later in the film, incredible Alone in the Ring sequence, is that Mickey, I think, truly believes that, and he's right, that Rocky does have the ability and the heart to beat Apollo. It just wasn't enough. I think had they been given a proper amount of training, I wonder if the results would have been different. Imagine if they were able to condition Rocky from the beginning, whatever it is. You need 10,000 minutes or whatever that is, that, you know, how much.
Yeah, for 45,000 minutes or 45 right. minute fight, 45,000 minutes, 45,000.
Yeah, if you want to blow it, kid, I'll do it with you.
Okay.
Well, this fight has to have the perfect combination of Rocky taking it seriously and Creed not taking it seriously. For it to be close.
That's right. True, too. Yeah, so that...
Because when Creed
right.
took it seriously in Rocky 2, Rocky got the beat out of him. So he got beat up really bad. That's the edit part. and got knocked out at the end because he got greedy and wanted the knockout.
That's right. Yeah, in part 2, you had still a peak... Yeah, we'll get to that now. Those are Rocky 2 discussions. We're going to head over ourselves. But I just love how Mickey...
50 years I've been waiting for this.
Okay.
Like the guy says, you're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder.
Like the guy says, you're the only one that says this, Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's he talking about?
If that's something he heard someone say back in the day. Like that's a guy known only to Mickey, some guy in some gym back in like the 30s or 40s or something like that.
Plus we're missing some famous... Saying.
Yeah, there might be a saying from an actor or some sort of sportscaster or some sort of, yeah, boxer, fighter, trainer back in the day that would say this. They just credit him as the guy. Like, so there might have been, yeah, maybe people can let us know yeah. there's, yeah.
Man, everybody's in such a good mood.
Oh, he's ecstatic.
Rocky, you can kind of see it. Rocky, you can see him smiling there. Michael, he's super happy.
Are we sure that's Mike? We sure it could be his twin brother, Jimmy.
It could be. And Mickey, he's in a good mood. Like we're at really the peak confidence and high here.
That's a good point. Yeah, Mickey's just loving this.
To make your rip, you'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder. You're going to become a very dangerous fighter.
Yo, Mickey.
Hey, how are you? Oh, Rock. I want you to meet our cut man here, Al Savani. Take a look at his eye.
How you doing now?
That's right.
Ain't bad. Seen worse.
Yeah, you ain't so bad yourself, you know?
Cover up. Things will be okay. Yeah,
cover up, things will be okay. What's he talking about there? Is he talking about blocking, or is he talking about the Vaseline, or I don't...
Blocking with his hands. No. Like, don't have someone repeatedly hit you in that eye for 45 minutes without he's trying to defend yourself. Al's advice, which is good advice.
It's good advice. I wish Rocky would take that advice at some point in his boxing career, blocking.
Yeah.
Is it this Al guy? My memory is failing me. Is he in them? Is he the cut man throughout?
Yeah.
Yes. I forget how deep he goes, but he's a real cut man in real life, by the way.
Yeah. It wasn't he even in... Did he even come back in Creed? Or was that a different guy?
No, I don't know.
No.
Dead by Creed, I think.
Yeah, Stitch was there. Okay. Stitch was Mason Dixon's quarter man in Balboa. And
then yeah, that's right. Okay.
Rocky's quarter man in Creed. I know for sure Al Savani goes after Rocky 3. I don't know if he's there in Rocky 4. I think he is. And then 5, no.
A better Rocky podcast would know this kind of stuff.
Yes, they would look this stuff up.
The Rocky Files would know this stuff. I'm always going to credit them. They would know this stuff. We don't know what we're talking about.
Rob, you cover
him. All right, go and take a shower, will you?
Okay, good Nick, I'll see you tomorrow.
And they're jazzed.
You covered that.
They're so ecstatic. They're jazzed.
See, he's got the love of his life. He's got his dog. He's training for the fight, the champion. He's feeling a little bit more confident. Mickey's all excited. Love this little chit chat here with Mick in the cutter.
You covered that Whitmore fight.
That's why you won.
Listen, we
we got a winner here. We got a chance. Now he goes to the body like nobody you've ever seen. You just stand by, boy, and we're going to win.
You just stand by, we're going to win. So, I mean, to be fair to Mickey, he has seen a lot of fighters. He's seen a lot of different types of... He understands the business.
You know, a lot of shit up here, it was a gift to you.
You know, so he's got a lot of stuff up there. So he sees a true champion in Rocky. And he's right, it's just not quite yet.
Tim said that Al is not in Rocky 4. Rocky 3 was his last appearance. Thank you.
Okay, so there you go. A better podcaster did figure it out. That was Tim from the Round 14 podcast. So thank you, Tim. There you go. So we have real professionals in our chat from other shows. We appreciate it. Okay. So now Rocky is hitting the punching bag. Of course, this is when Paulie comes in. They have the little makeup meeting.
Hey, Rocky. It's okay I talk to you?
Okay, you talk to me. Sure.
I figured some angle to make some money with your name.
My name? How's that?
Advertising. I know about that stuff.
What do you know about advertising? Huh? Hey, you can make money off my name, make it, okay?
Now, it's an interesting little pause there because, of course, they had their big fight. This was probably the first they've obviously spoken since that incident. And now Paulie's, you know, obviously hat in hand, literally saying, hey, can we talk? And Rocky's like, sure, you can talk to me. You want to talk? The little pause, I just noticed it between, because it looks like Paulie's been trying to be serious. Like, I can make money off your name, or I can, you know, advertise. I know about this stuff. And Rocky kind of does a little bit of a dig. Like, what do you know about advertising? And I don't think he was even trying to really be funny. I think it was kind of serious, too. He's like, Paul, what do you know? And then he sees a little bit of the pain in Paulie's eyes, like that kind of stung. Like, oh, he's serious. And he goes, okay, if you want to make money off my name, go ahead. So he actually lightened up a little bit. Like, you could tell the first comment is like, what do you know about advertising? It was a little bit more of an attack than a jive, you know, than a friendly jive. I think it was a little bit more, like, serious. And then he saw Paulie go, oh. Rocky lightens it up. Oh, if you want to make money off my name, make it, okay?
This is probably, as far as we know, the first time they've spoken since he smashed his own house up and
the tea set.
Such a huge scene that he forced Adrienne out of her own house. He came kind of hat in hand, but he didn't in the way that he asked something from him.
Right.
Like, it's not an apology. It's not like, hey, let's work things out. It's like, hey, can I have something from you?
Can I make
like, imagine if you and I got in a big fight on the podcast and then I was like, hey, Ryan, see if I can make some money off your podcast.
I know about those things.
I know about that stuff. Like, that is a weird...
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, basically, these are two guys. These are stereotypical 70s guys. They don't talk about their feelings. They don't do any of that shit.
Right.
This is their way of making up without actually talking about it. Paulie's saying, hey, could you do me this favor? I think that's his way of saying, one, he actually does want to make money, but two, it's his way of saying, do you forgive me? Are things okay between us? When Rocky gave him shit, like, what do you know about advertising? That's kind of Rocky saying no, and then lightening up and saying yes. And it helps that Rocky's coming off this scene before where he's in such a good mood. Like, Paulie caught him at a great time.
Good point. Yeah.
I'm going to take a shot. Oh, yeah. You want to help me open these?
You can see how Rocky, too, is not very shrewd, as Mickey would point out. Because it's not like, hey, I'm going to make some money off your name. If I'm Rocky, I'd be like, look, if you're making money off my name, I want a piece. It is my name, after all. Like, we're going to split this. You do the work to make it happen. If you're doing it off my name, I want half or whatever it is. But Rocky's just...
He doesn't become a good businessman until 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was handling Rocky's finances in part 3? Because they were doing a good job. They should have stayed with him.
Could have been that guy all along. Like, that guy could have been doing stuff with his money the whole time. Because with Rocky 5, that guy was buying real estate in Rocky's name and trying to flip it.
It's so weird. It's so stupid. And we'll talk about that. We'll get to that. All right. Well, we're about to get into what I'm going to do there, folks, is I am going to mute the whole soundtrack to this part because that would get blocked and or claimed on YouTube. And it is all music soundtrack, so there's no there's very little point in me playing the music for the audio listeners while we try to talk about the training sequence here, the montage. But we're going to keep the video up so we can talk to what Rocky's doing. But everyone's seen this 1,000 times. Just go on YouTube and watch it. Watch us on YouTube talk about it. But I'm just going to mute it. And here's what I'm talking about. Okay, we all know Going to Fly is playing, but there's no point in me playing that all the way through because it's all soundtrack stuff. Okay.
It's a brilliant shot, too, what you have it paused on, the opening sequence of this. It's with the sun coming up and the industrial nature of it. It's just brilliant how they did it. Love it.
Totally agree. It is a great little shot. And there's the train again. Is it moving? They got the moving train. I've missed that moving train all this time. They get so many of the trains in these shots throughout the film. So they timed it again. It's almost like they got the train moving, camera rolling, and camera's probably already rolling. Sly starts running when the train starts moving. And I don't think it wasn't until my first Going the Distance podcast when my brother and I can't remember if it was even Ruben that was doing this episode with me. It might have been Kyle, or do you remember who, if you were on this one or not, Kyle?
I don't recall. No.
Okay, but it wasn't until we watched it like the scene by scene that we realized that Rocky was holding bricks in his hand. It wasn't until that viewing. I know it's an obvious for a lot of other people. Yeah, it's a great little lens flare. We don't see that often back.
Yeah, this is weird watching it without the music. Holy shit.
It's a funny thing on YouTube where you can actually watch the Rocky montage without music. It's kind of funny. We're just listening to someone did the sound effects for Rocky throughout the jogging and the running. It's just what it would sound like if you just saw him running through the streets.
God, it really showcases how important the music is by not having it. And it's so not effective at all without the music.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. So here he's running through. I think this is called Little Italy or Italian Alley or something like that.
When I go to Philly next time, I'm coming there for sure. If it's not part of Kunda's tour, I'm just going to go on my own.
I wonder if they still have markets, if it's still like a street marketplace.
I would assume something to that effect. Yeah, it's probably not as dirty. It's probably less fire barrels, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's that classic.
There's possibly an apple there, though.
There's an orange.
Orange,
an apple.
Isn't it?
I think it's an orange. Orange. Now, as we all know, of course, but there might be a couple listeners who don't know this, like your friend, for example, Katie. Kim. Mm-hmm. Kim, how are you doing? That fruit toss that Sly gets from that gentleman was unplanned. That was a candid moment, as they say. That was not scripted. The guy just tossed the unknown Stallone at the time a fruit as he's going for his run to the neighborhood. Hey, you want a snack while you're running? I love that kind of stuff.
Big claim to fame.
It is a claim.
It wouldn't have been as good if you didn't plan it.
It is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, can I interview that? Yeah, that guy who threw that fruit, he dead.
He's probably dead.
He's dead.
Anyways, I love that little cursory wave that Sly gives. Again, not the Rocky character. That's just Sly. You know, hey, thanks for the fruit. And then he goes back, kind of character, jogging with the fruit in his hand. More shots. As Sly said, they just jogged all day.
It's like the nice part of Philly now, too.
I was
too.
Thinking the exact same thing, Kyle. It's like it's interesting how they start off in a really rough, dirty, industrial place, and then it ends on this really scenic byway along the river.
It is a nice little part, yeah. That's probably all gross and stuff now, that waterway, I wonder.
I believe Nixon, who created the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. So it would have just started around this time. There were times in the United States where you can light a river on fire because people were just, and Canada too, I'm sure. I don't mean to pick on the U.S., but where people just dump chemicals and stuff in the water, and there's a chance it could be just as nice, or if not nicer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. So, of course, Rocky / Sly working that speed bag. That's not acting. That's Sly literally hitting. I've tried hitting speed bags, of course, because I'm a big fan of Rocky throughout the years. I've been around a couple speed bags in my journeys of life, and Ryan don't have coordination like that.
I'm sure Sly had to practice a lot. You know that movie, The Hurricane, with Denzel Washington?
Yeah. Seen it the one great time. Yeah.
The very first scene of that movie is him in a boxing match, is Reuben Hurricane Carter. And they were interviewing Denzel on that, and they said, hey, you look pretty good. You were fighting pretty well. Did you box before? And he said, no. He trained for a year to do that scene. And they're like, how come you put so much time and effort into doing that one scene? He's like, well, that's the initial scene of the movie. Like, if that's not convincing, the rest of the movie isn't. It kind of behooves Sly to really practice and get good at some of these things, or else, because like, imagine if you had a guy that sucked at the bag. It wasn't quite, you either wouldn't put it in or it'd be unconvincing. Like, he kind of has to put a lot of effort into it.
I think he's proud of his skills in that arena, and so you see it quite a bit in the training sequences throughout the movies. But he's always been a boxing fan, and so I would imagine that he's no stranger to boxing as just like workouts and stuff. But yeah, the rhythm is good
really good. And he's kept it through all the films. And it was a Sugar Ray or somebody said that had Sly chosen just to be a boxer in his weight class, you know, that was just something he dedicated his life to. He could have
been a contender.
So. Yeah, he probably would have been all right.
Because it looks like he can really hit the bag, you know, when they show these scenes. Like, that's him hitting a heavy bag. That's not a fake bag. The guy could really swat.
It's true, because his actual, because he is a little clumsy. Like, he has rhythm with his hands, but, like, his footwork's not great.
That's a part three. When he starts listening to jungle music, he'll be able to.
Oh, that dance sequence. I can't wait.
favorite playlist on iTunes is the jungle music.
Jungle junk music. I'm moving on. Sorry.
Please.
To the sequence where he's doing the one-arm push-ups. You guys, like, I would fall on my face. I wouldn't even attempt it.
No.
I can do real push-ups, like not girl ones, but...
Everything in this film I've attempted just because of my fandom of Rocky, and I think I pulled off one really, really bad one-arm push-up. It was really bad.
Wow.
I think the one-arm push-up is as much coordination as it is strength.
Balance.
Yep.
Look at his left leg that's way out there, and he's on the tip of his right foot, and then his left foot is against the mat there. And switching between the two, that's pretty enough. Like, that's a core workout as much as it is an arm workout.
The placement of the feet is very important, yep.
He does yoga, too, I betcha.
Look at the leg muscle there. It's a good shot there of his leg muscle.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
Are you okay there, Katie? You ready to move on?
I mean, I will be, yeah. Yep.
He does the claps now. He does one hand. Clap, clap, clap.
This scene here where he's getting hit with the medicine ball.
Right.
Was reading in a book. He asked whatever the guy's name is, we'll say Michael, to hit him as hard as he could with that medicine ball, and he said that almost killed him. See him taking that. He said he felt like his insides were just destroyed.
He likes to exaggerate, but
I know it hurt.
He's like, for part one, my insides were all turned to mashed potato, but for part four, I almost died thanks to Drago. I love it. And for part three, he said that the whatever that real boxer punched him in the left arm and paralyzed him. Yeah.
Both Joe Frazier and Ernie Shavers beat him up when they were auditioning to be Clubber Lang.
I love Sly, but Sly is a good storyteller for a reason.
Yeah.
Both on and off screen, if you know what I'm saying. You know, he knows how to...
There's a great picture of Sly with a cut over his eye with Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier cut him really bad in that edition. And you can see Joe just being like, ooh. Like, he's really embarrassed to that picture.
You know, Sly is a fantastic guest on, late talk shows or whatever. In contrast, so I think people love, because he's a good storyteller and he tells good behind-the-scenes stories like that, in contrast to Robert De Niro, who is, like, notoriously the worst interview ever. I love them both. They're brothers.
Some people are boring. Yeah, Sly is a very fun interview, yeah. He always has been. He's always been very good on, quick on his feet, excuse the pun.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit extroverted, I think, too.
Yeah.
I think if you're a really introverted person, you probably don't interview well.
Good point.
These upside down sit-ups where he like bends his back in half over that ringside or whatever, that, I don't know if that could be good for the back. It doesn't look good.
It's not. It's not good for your body.
It's because of his control. He already have intense core strength to be able to do that. Stop before you go too far. It's insane.
Back to the meat factory. So it's showing again that the meat factory punching of the meat with his bandaged hands is a daily. That's part of his workout. He does this rotation of morning jog. The sequence of events are kind of out, but it starts with the morning jog, pounding meat. Then he goes to the gym. The next day, morning jog, pounding meat, gets his breakfast. Adrian, make the meat. Go to the gym. Back to the one-arm push-ups. So let's keep showing the same things over and over again.
They do. It's funny. Without the music, it's not as... catching up with the chat, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie push-up contest. Now that's a show. Tim. And then was that part of Ryan's training, hugging a man on a beach?
Maybe.
No,
Ryan and I, next time we see each other,
we can recreate that the hug scene.
Yeah, we could do like me, Kyle, and the beast, and we could do like me and Katie. Like, I'm afraid, Katie. What do you want to say?
I'm afraid. I know the boring part. I wish I was as good as Apollo that I could like run. I guarantee you run faster than me. You can probably do more push-ups as well.
I'm not a very good push-up guy. I'm really not, but I actually have horrible push-up strength. But I can run.
I have decent push-up strength, but I can't run. So
same.
I got gaps. You got gaps. Together we fill gaps.
I love this line that Mickey says after his one-arm push-up deal. He goes, you're going to kill him.
That Mike said that.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Mike said that. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he does the okay sign. I love that.
It's good that he's confident, but he's a bit in a dream world right now. I forget what it's called. You can look at it. It's a certain graph. When you're learning something new, like when you initially start doing it, your assessment of your abilities is way off. Like you feel like you're, like, say you're learning Spanish or something like that, and you could throw together a few phrases. You like think that you can speak Spanish, and then you're going to get to a point where you start talking to someone and they throw something at you and you don't understand a word, and then you're just like, you kind of get brought back down to reality. Or I feel like Rocky, he started off where he was winded going up the stairs and was kind of low, but then now he's training and he's getting stronger and he's getting good. He's kind of in that nice little fantasy state there where he feels like he could keep, like, just beat up anybody.
The bell part of the confidence curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our chat, someone said, Shotgun Aces says they think it might be called Pink Cloud. Now, it's close. Pink Cloud is a syndrome that can be attributed to feelings of increased self-esteem. Yes, but after a person has undergone a period of sobriety. So it's close. But that effect, though, of the brain of thinking, I can do this. Maybe your brain is a little bit more, or your heart, I should say, is not quite in line with your actual ability. It's great to have confidence. Not only do I want a confident heart surgeon, I want somebody who's competent too. Confidence can only go so much. Like, I'm very confident I can cut you open, fix your heart. But do you know how? That's kind of the other question. That A-OK thing that he does with the three fingers and the, that's actually a sign for 666, sign of the beast, just so you know.
Why? That's weird. It's okay.
It's big in Hollywood, and a lot of people, like, honestly, there are people who are conspiracy theorists who would see Rocky do this and say they're sly, showing that he has sold his soul to the devil to become famous for this film.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even joking.
Oh, my God. People, come on. You know what we didn't do? Oh, never mind. I just realized. My brain, I swear, my memory is total shit.
That's okay.
I was like, we didn't do trivia because we're done with trivia. That's why we didn't do trivia.
I thought that too. And I'm like, oh yeah, we finished it. I'm like, all I have to care about is how many times people say bum.
It's only one thing to worry about now.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great shot here. Of course, everyone's very familiar with this shot. There's the movie van that's driving and it's filming Rocky. And the Steadicam, I assume, would be in the van because that would eliminate any of the jostling of the vehicle, right? So this is a great shot. You've got a Steadicam in a van almost out the window here filming Sly running. And, you know, with the Rocky character. But this is a Sly gun.
And an unusual ship behind him, too.
Yeah. It's
it's like he beats it. It wasn't that part of the effect. He, like, tries to race the ship. Also, he's still in these shoes. How his feet have to just kill.
So what Apollo can't do. Apollo, he gets the right shoes. He gets the right everything, and it makes you a little soft. And then there's the little plaque thing at the top now that has, like, the imprints of those shoes on the steps here, if you go to the steps today.
Let's just go back, because I love the sequence here of him running up the stairs, right? And the music.
He's not in
playing.
Pain this time.
Oh, he's loving it. The city cam, as you know, you got Brown. I think his name is Jim Brown going around Sly here. I love that. Walking behind Sly, and he's, okay, I'm behind you. Arms up. I guess there must have been some sort of signal to Sly, okay, because he can't see. Okay, we're right behind you. Put the arms up. It's a great sequence.
Filmed this a few times, too.
I don't know how much they would have. You're right. I don't know if this was one take only. We do know this was filmed the same. I think it was you, Kyle, that mentioned this, or somebody mentioned this. That
I'm dead.
Who was it? Doug. That's right, Doug. The other smart residents of our show. Doug from the Rocky Minute said that when they did the slow run, why he's wearing the same shoes there, Katie, too. When he did the slow run up the stairs, then they reset, and then now this is the same morning with the sun rising. Now they're doing the fast run up the stairs. So how many takes did they do? Probably not a lot, because they would have to keep the same lighting for, you know.
The sun rising, yeah.
I hate knowing stuff like this. I hate knowing that this was done on the same day. It's hard to keep the imagination and the suspension of disbelief going. Yeah. I want to think that he's trained and now he ran up that because he's stronger. Mm-hmm.
Good acting on the science part. He pretended to be in pain and hurt when he ran up those stairs. Okay, reset, and he ran up the stairs right after. I think it's kind of funny, actually. But, yeah. It's called acting.
I love this area of Philadelphia. If you ever go to run up the steps. I visited Philly. I walked from the steps here to downtown.
Oh, wow.
It's a cool walk. They have, like, the flags from, like, every country in the world. You'll see it in Rocky II when he runs there from, like, Independence Hall. But
I look forward to going there one day.
We will go there. We will have a meeting at the top of the stairs.
And we have to go to Adrian's.
Is that the real name of the restaurant? Victor's Cafe, I think is what the name is.
Yeah, that's right. Victor's Cafe. The shots here, I just can't give them enough credit. The gorgeousness of the skyline with the sun coming up and just knowing that it was such a guerrilla style filming and then now the opposite shot from the bottom up to the museum. I mean, it's just like such 1976. I just very much appreciate the older time mechanisms for filming than everything now.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to forget the time. This is just some random place. And the reason this place has significance to a lot of people is because of this film. No one would know about these steps unless you're from Philly otherwise. Like Katie was saying, like they have like the random guerrilla type of filmmaking where the guy had the invention of the Steadicam. They found these random stairs somewhere and they made something cool out of it. It became iconic and people running up down those steps for decades afterwards. That's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Somebody from Philly that's old enough to know, let us know. But it's maybe, I'm guessing it's, there are certain places in a city that are known to be really good spots to watch the sun come up and see the city skyline or whatnot. So maybe the museum is known for that. Mm. And that's why they did it there. But either way, I would venture to guess that outside of Philly, people would not know this museum without the movie.
I would never know. But why would I ever know about the Philly steps if it wasn't for Rocky? There'd be no reason. I think you guys know the trivia that's coming up. If you don't, let me know. How they filmed this part?
I don't know what you're referring
to. Okay, so watch Rocky dancing on top of the steps here. It's actually in reverse. The filming's in reverse.
Oh!
This right here is actually them zooming back. So they filmed it zooming back. So that every movement you see Rocky do here is actually in reverse. They started close to him and then zoomed back, but we're zooming in. So all these movements are in reverse. Watch. You can just kind of tell how his legs look funky when he's doing the little dance on the steps.
Yes, it is.
That's why.
I didn't know that, Ryan. That is a super interesting fun fact. Thank you.
That's why I'm here, you know.
Hey, I like to just pause on here. You see his face like that?
Which part? Sorry.
So like when they do the close-up on his face.
Which part? Right here?
Okay, just right here. Could you imagine this? This is such a weird, but also cool thing. It's like, he does not look like the hero of a movie, right? Like, with his face like this. They do the close-up. You have this guy in sweats with a hat. And like, he looks like some schmuck.
He does, yeah. It's a terrible outfit. It does nothing for his gorgeous figure.
That look on his face looks so bad. It's cool just because he's Rocky, and it's iconic and classic.
Right.
But if, like, this was being pitched to me before I knew the movie was famous, I'd be like, why are we liking this guy? You kind of have to know him before and become connected to the character. But this is what I love about the film. You don't have, like, a Brad Pitt kind of guy doing this.
Right.
I'm not saying Sly's ugly, but he looks a little ugly in this particular shot.
It's not conventional. Yeah. Handsomeness, so to speak, that Sly has in these films and other, you know, his heyday, you know, in this 35 to 45 age range, when he's the manliest men that during that time, was his character. What we knew of Sly outside the films, like, he's a likable person and the Rocky character itself. So those things do ingratiate themselves. But yes, if you were just to show this one still right here to anyone who's never seen Sly or the film, they'd be like, is that a special needs person who just ran up the steps?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's even quite a bit more handsome in other scenes in this film. Just this particular scene, just the way he looks there, like what you said, like the special needs or whatever. Yeah, if you showed someone just this frame without any context whatsoever, they'd be like, this would not be iconic. Why is this iconic? But it is, and it is sad too, because a lot of people make fun of Rocky. They go, Adrian. Like,
yeah, of course.
They kind of only see this. Like, this is their view of Rocky, and they kind of refuse to see anything else.
Well, they're sternobones. We don't need them.
I find him extremely handsome. Shocking, right? Newsflash. But he's not conventionally. If this were made today, it'd be like, I can see, like, Henry Cavill. He's very similar looking, but Henry Cavill is, like, perfect looking, very conventionally handsome. You need him to not be perfect looking to believe the whole story.
If they were to recast Rocky, well, they couldn't even do it now because the actor I'm about to say, I think, is even probably still too old. But let's say if they rebooted Rocky 10 years ago, let's say. The guy that plays the Punisher in the Netflix series, Joe Benthrall.
Oh,
what's his name? I can't say his name properly.
Bernthal.
Bernthal.
Grunthal, I think.
He's got the mushed up kind of nose. He looks like a punk fighter. He was actually in Grudge Match with Sly.
He looks like a boxer. Yeah. That would be a good...
He'd be a good recast if they recast the guy. He's too old now, but if they did it 10 years ago.
I agree.
We know that Adrian and Rocky have moved in together, and they've kind of personified and beautified the home a little bit. We have here Rocky Marciano wearing the Santa beard and mustache.
Love that.
Why is that? That's super random.
They're having fun.
Rocky and Adrian are having fun, and I don't mean what you people might think I mean by that, but I think they're generally just loving life together, right? Yeah. Like they found what's missing. They're in a shithole apartment, but it doesn't matter. When I first got married, my apartment was a real piece of shit, but it was ours, right?
Yep.
I have great memories there, and this seems the same way to me.
You got the newspaper footage here. It says, Italian Salian gets shot at title.
Who got a shot at the title?
It's the greatest title in the whole world. Yeah, here's the thing.
Okay, so anyway, so there's a little bit of Christmas garland there, too. Of course, the train passing, yeah.
Okay, Tempo magazine. Obviously, this is supposed to be Time magazine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't even realize it said Tempo on the back.
That is a huge deal. Like, there's a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Donald Trump.
Mm.
And
never heard of him.
He had a fake Time magazine with his picture on it hung up at his Mar-a-Lago.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that's how coveted Time magazine picture is.
I love it. It makes me laugh so much. It makes me laugh. Rocky is looking at the very things that we were looking at. So he's looking at the news articles, the Time magazine. He's seeing like, oh boy, he's starting to see all these articles and everyone's all happy for him. We got a winner here. We got a winner here. And now Rocky's like, oh boy.
Yeah, he's coming off that high that he had earlier, not too long ago. Now it's like the reality's kind of setting in. Like you're on the cover of Time. You're in the newspaper. You're going to be fighting the best fighter on the planet. And not too long ago, you were losing club fights or barely winning them.
Gosh, I mean, well, somebody that is a fighter needs to tell us. I mean, just knowing how I am, nervous, you know, like the night before I have to give a big presentation or, you know, whatever it is in your world that would make you nervous. Can you imagine this scene right now? Like tomorrow, you have to get up and fight the world champion.
That's the worst part. It's worse than the fight. If I'm going on a business trip and I got to present towards like a board of directors or something like that, the trip there is way worse than the actual presentation that you're giving. Mm-hmm. Like once I'm there and doing it, I'm fine. But the lead up to it is rough, like the 24 hours before or whatever. And I imagine Rocky's he's experiencing the same thing. He's coming back to Earth now, maybe a little lower than he should be. I don't think Mickey has the same anxiety for him that he has for himself, but his anxiety is somewhat justified. You're going to fight a class of fighter you've never faced before. No one even remotely close. The last guy he fought was Spider Rico.
I wonder how many rounds Spider would last with Apollo.
He'll just headbutt him.
That's true.
Imagine Spider fighting Rocky in this condition, right?
Oh, it'd be a joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle mentioned about Mickey is probably not having the same anxiety, but if there's sort of like a father-son scenario, I mean, I would be like, well, of course he's not that nervous, but you guys are fathers. Would you be? I mean, how would you be if this was your kid?
I'd be less nervous. It's not me in the ring. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not you entering the ring. You'd be supportive. You got this, kid. You got this, because you don't want to say, boy, you must be nervous. You know, you don't want to talk about it. You just don't even bring it up.
My wife has to do presentations and stuff like that, too, that she gets nervous for, understandably so. I'm not nervous for her. I'm confident in her. It's way easier to be confident in someone else than in yourself, at least for me.
Yeah.
True.
Some people that have, like, a bizarre amount of self-confidence, a lot of them are actually athletes. You'll notice that a lot of athletes, they really just believe in themselves so much. I think that's what makes them so good at what they do. Rocky does not fall into that camp, but he makes it work anyway.
So I like the subtle prop thing here of the picture of Adrian and Rocky. I love that picture. You can find the picture online.
It's the best.
Yeah.
He's got that sweater. I love that sweater.
It's his favorite nice sweater he wore for the press conference for the picture with Adrian. It's a special sweater.
Mm-hmm. They have Christmas cards up there, it looks like, that they must have got from people. I don't know who.
So they're not sleeping together. Is it because there's not enough room on the bed? Which it is a very small bed. It's probably what it is. It's not a very.
It's probably
not
a twin.
It looks like a single.
Twin is a single. Single person bed.
Okay. So
I don't know why it's called a twin. That's weird.
Oh, twin does equal single. Well, okay.
I think twin is because you're supposed to have two of them.
Oh, I see. Oh. You can twin them up. Okay.
Oh, look at the nice plate on the wall.
Yep.
I don't know how nice it is, but yeah.
Lots of, a lot nicer than a knife or whatever that he would have had before.
Wreath on the door. Wreath on the door.
Yeah, there's a Christmas wreath on the door. They've really Christmased it up. They got the Christmas spirit mm-hmm. going. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure when Adrienne first showed up there, she knew what it looked like, but then now that she has to live there, she's probably, okay, I got to do some stuff. Women, they got to nest. They got to mark their territory, so to speak. And that's exactly what Adrienne did.
Yeah, okay.
If you moved into a guy's house, Katie, would you make some changes aesthetically to the place?
I've only lived with one boyfriend, and he moved into my house. So
okay. Did he make any changes?
Not really. I mean, a little, not some stuff.
That's all I usually care. I don't just give me my computer desk or the couch in front of the TV. I don't.
Okay. We'll say this. Say you and What's-His-Face decide to get your own place together that you bought or whatever, and you moved in there. Say he moves in there a day before you or 2 days before and starts setting his stuff up. I have a feeling you might make some changes.
Typically, women care more about decor and stuff. Yeah.
So here's a great shot here. I love this shot. Talking about shots of behind the shoulder of Rocky as he climbs into the ring, looking at Apollo, the banner, big banner of Apollo. It's just a great shot of empty spectrum. And this sequence in the soundtrack is actually called Alone in the Ring. That's actually what Bill Conti titled this. It makes sense. It is kind of interesting that Rocky had access to the spectrum.
I'm sure the security guards, he comes up there, he gets approached by security. They're like, oh, holy shit, this is Sly. Or not Sly, this is Rocky. He's on every newspaper and stuff. He's famous. He's like, hey, guys, can I come take a look around? I'm sure they'd say, yeah, sure.
It's a great little shot, too, of the Steadicam, of course, being used lots in this film. So the Steadicam falls Rocky into the ring. Rocky walks around the ring once. The shot starts with him looking at the Apollo banner. We haven't, as an audience, seen the Rocky banner yet. Of course, Rocky has. He climbs into the ring, does his move around the ring, and now we're seeing with Rocky him looking at this huge bigger than life-size painting of him. I think it's great. They got the Apollo one. They nailed the Apollo one, but they really did not. I don't know who they painted here for this painting. Was that on purpose? Because they really nailed Carl Weathers, and they got the Rocky face. It's kind of oof.
It's because they didn't give a shit. Rocky's a prop, basically, in this show here.
No chance. He'll be forgotten tomorrow. It is a nice contrast, though. When we first see the scene, it's a close-up of Apollo's poster. And his face is just that million bucks, I'm this huge star, giant smile, his sparkling eyes. And then in contrast, this bum from the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Rocky feels imposter syndrome big time. Mm-hmm. I don't belong in this ring. He's never got the attention where there's a banner of him up there for everyone to see. This is so foreign and surreal to him. He's a bit in awe. There's a bit of shock to his face. He's not in his element. He's a fish out of water big time.
That's a great shot there. You got Apollo behind Rocky, almost laughing, mocking Rocky.
Impactful shot. Agreed.
Somehow Juergens is lurking around.
Weird again that Juergens is there doing last minute whatever. That's not his office. His office isn't in the spectrum. So he's just, I don't know. Maybe he's
making sure all of those red, white, and blue banners are appropriately placed.
It's a bit of a plot device having Juergens walk in to make this scene happen as it does. But we know why this scene took place now, right? Does everyone what they're about to say regarding the shorts? I think it's obvious trivia that everyone knows. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assume everyone. Yeah.
Well, we'll save it for Kim. Maybe Kim doesn't know.
Okay.
So for
she probably doesn't.
So, Kim, you're going to hear Rocky mention to Juergens that the painting's wrong. That will explain why after.
Rocky, what brings you here tonight?
Mr. Juergens, the poster's wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm wearing white pants with a red stripe.
It doesn't really matter, does it? I'm sure you're going to give us a great show. Try to get some rest, kid. Good night.
What does he mumble there? Does he move his mouth right there? He goes, blah, blah, blah. I wonder what he was thinking as he mouthed those words. You see that? Sly, I always wondered what he said
there. Yeah, that's hard to say.
Kind of reminds me of that scene of in Office Space. You ever seen that movie, Office Space? Where they're handing out
Milton.
The cake. Where Milton has a cake, goes right by him every time. He's mumbling under his breath. That's what Sly was doing there. He's doing the Milton mumble.
Whatever it was to himself, essentially taking in what Jurgen said. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
I'll put on a good show. So for Kim, for our one listener who doesn't know, so what happened was, Kim, is the prop department really did get this wrong. They painted, they only had a limited budget. They only had one pair of shorts for Sly, and his shorts are white with a red stripe. But when they painted it, they put a red with a white stripe on the shorts. So they wrote the scene in, or at least that dialogue in. Maybe they had the Alone the Ring scene might have always been there. The dialogue regarding the poster being wrong, they wanted to address it to the audience, to those keen eyes who would see that his shorts were wrong. So they talked about it in the film. So there you go. Another moment where the guerrilla, low-budget shooting style of the film actually benefits the movie.
Works out.
Yeah.
After this point, they're not going to give a shit about continuity or anything like that. Yeah. They're going to really stop caring about pissing off the people who are really into the show.
Hey, Adrian, how come our kid's 15 now? It doesn't really matter, Rock. We'll put on a good show.
He's going to give us a great show.
It doesn't really matter, does it? Maybe this is a girl mentality, but I'm curious if anyone else. I have always thought, why did they choose white with a red stripe? Because red with a white stripe is much more appealing. Hmm. It's better.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not very good at the color stuff. I don't see that stuff. I hear you, but I don't see it. That's a costume
design. Especially because white gets bloody and gross. Like,
ew, blood. Yeah, it might have. Yeah, you're right. That if I had the choice between the two shorts, I would probably wear the red with the white stripe too. I would wear the red. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, red's like more of a power color. White is more like purity. It's funny. I always think of Muhammad Ali's fight with Joe Frazier. He wore red shorts with a white stripe like that. Mm-hmm. And Apollo Creed is going to wear those shorts in the next fight.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Or red with the white stripe.
Yeah, good point. White, again, this is probably just like a woman's mentality. In the first two Rocky movies, Rocky is still pretty pale. Like, he doesn't do his tan. He's not super tan yet. Mm-hmm. White doesn't look good on super pale skin. It looks much better on darker skin.
The contrast there, for sure. The only thing I don't like about the red is, for this era, is that it's almost like communist.
Yeah, good point.
That's something that Ivan Drago would have on, you know, or the Soviets. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to give them, like, blue or something like that.
So there's that Bill Conti, just the piano.
Doesn't this make you guys tear up?
Yeah.
Like, not now, but if you're watching it at home. Yeah.
I'm getting teary-eyed right now, Katie. Right now.
Music is pivotal.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear I interviewed Bill Conti?
You should promote that more. It's pretty awesome.
It's the highlight of my podcasting, for sure. And you guys, of course. I mean, of course, Rocky's just left the arena. He's gone back to his... He's just doing a lot of walking, or did he catch a cab? Who knows? Anyway, so he's about to have
his... Walk.
Well, we learned that he's happy that the fight in part two is near his house, so that, yeah, we do know that Spectrum is near his house. He sits on the bed now with Adrian. Of course, she's awake because he's come in. He goes, I can't do it. And that's what he says here.
Can't do it.
What?
I can't beat him.
Apollo?
So Dave says, I can't believe they wanted to cut this from the movie. I didn't know about that. I did know that this was one take. This is a one take scene.
This is the most important scene in the movie. What he's about to say is going to be the entire premise of it, because without his thoughts on this, the whole thing is less meaningful.
This is a pivotal moment because it sets the whole – what's in Rocky's mind before he enters the ring, and what he accomplishes in the ring is so much more – it's called going the distance for a reason, right? Like, there's a reason why. I'm so glad they got the shot. This is one shot, one take. So Sly and Talia Shire, this is it. Go. Film rolling. I think that's pretty crazy.
I've been out there walking around thinking. I mean, who am I kidding? I ain't even in the guys' league.
What are we going to do?
That's a great moment there. And this is something I need to do better of, especially when my wife is talking to me about problems, or often as men or whatever, or even as just as a spouse or a partner, we try to fix the problems that are presented to us. Yeah. She does a great job here where she just says, what are we going to do? He's brought up his problem and she doesn't try to solve it. She doesn't say she's
or reassurance.
She's listening and she's supporting his struggle. And I love how she says, what are we going to do?
That would make me feel like I'm not alone. Adrian sees us as a team, and I'm on a team with someone, and it's something we're going to work towards together, which makes all the difference.
Relationship advice from Rocky.
Yeah.
Booby. Rocky.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know.
You work so hard.
Yeah, it don't matter, because I was nobody before.
Don't say that.
Oh, come on, Adrian, it's true. I was nobody. That don't matter either, you know? Because I was thinking, it really don't matter if I lose this fight. It really don't matter if this guy opens my head either. So all I want to do is go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I can go that distance, you see, and that bell rings and I'm still standing, I'm going to know for the first time in my life, you see, that I weren't just another bum from the neighborhood.
Obviously, we all know that scene so well. It's hard to interrupt. I didn't want to stop it. Great acting by Sly, by Adrian. The camera zooming in as he's talking slowly. And it's very quiet. You know, you have to really listen, you know. And it shows his whole mindset. I was nobody before. Doesn't matter if he splits my head open. But maybe, just maybe, I can stand toe-to-toe with this guy for the full 15. Maybe I can do something no other person has done. Maybe I won't beat him. It's not about beating him. He can go his personal best, his personal distance, and then he'll know that he's just another bum. Yeah, one count for the bum from the neighborhood. So, Katie, are we getting close to your 230 bums, or how are we doing here?
I think it's like 215 or something, but yeah, we're creeping up there.
Okay.
It's life in general, and also how Sly views life. This is very along the lines of his speech in Rocky Balboa, where he says, it's not how hard you hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. A lot of people in life may not have been everything they wanted to be. I think there's something to be said about endurance, about perseverance, about just, I made it. I got through this. I was able to take everything that's been thrown at me, and I'm still here. I'm still standing. That is almost just as important as saying, oh, I've accomplished this or I've accomplished that. You may not be where you want to be in your career, or you may not be where you want to be romantically, but you didn't give up. You didn't just stop. And you're still there, and you're still throwing punches and taking punches. And I think there's something to be said about that.
That's like a personal best. Like, he's not trying to – he wants to prove it to himself, not necessarily the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he's like accomplished a goal. His goal isn't necessarily to win at this point. However, I did wonder, up until this time that he's been training and they're like, you're going to kill him. You know, we really got a shot, you know, this buildup. I'm wondering if he even like really thought about the ultimate, like this point in time, like, oh, I actually have to do this. Do I think I can win? Or is it, or is he just now realizing?
I think this is playing to the audience a little bit. I think he's actually this. Sly, I think it's a combination of the character, yes. So it's a great question. Did he really think, did Rocky ever really think? Why is he thinking now he can't win? So that's your great, actually great observation. So what was Rocky's mindset at the beginning? Did he really think I had a chance? Because he even said to Juergens at the office, you know, no, I'm a ham and egger. That guy's the best. Like he's going to, so he did. So yes, he did, but then you're right. What changed? I don't think a lot changed, but I think this is just a reminder maybe to the audience saying, just so you know, don't expect this. Don't expect Rocky to win the fight. There's more to this message than Rocky winning the title. This is about him going his distance. And so it's a bit of an exposition for the audience, maybe to be kind of mindfully prepared of the outcome.
I think it did just dawn on him, to be honest.
Okay.
I think while he was training and he was fighting, and Mickey was talking him up, I think he really did believe he had a shot. In the beginning, he's like, fight set. No, I don't need to imagine. The fight's set. I'm going to get my head kicked in. You get to the point where it's like, you're going to eat lightning and crap thunder, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And he's pumped and he's jazzed and he's happy. And then it's like, now he saw that arena when shit got real. Cause it's probably almost surreal to him that he's actually fighting Creed. It's almost unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, logically that it's happening. You know that it's real. You're not in a dream or something. It's not really real until you get close to it. And it's the night before. The arena's there. Your picture's up there. This is really happening. This is really going down. And now I'm going to have to actually swap punches with this guy in less than 24 hours. The other part of my brain's got to kick in and be like, are you really going to beat him? Is this really going to happen? I used to have a thing where I wrote like an exam I trained all year on, and the pass rate was less than 50%. And everyone else was studying just as hard as me, if not harder. And while I was studying, I'd be like, I'm going to kick ass on this. And when I got closer that time, reality set in and I realized, look, I'm writing with really smart people all over the world who's going to be writing this exam too. It's something. So maybe I'm projecting myself on Sly or on Rocky here, but.
I agree. I do think like you don't really think of the reality of the situation until it's like right in front of you probably. Additionally, I mean, I do this too, where it's like you try and like almost reset your own expectations. He's like, okay, realistically, I'm not going to win, but I will be happy with my performance if this.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this film. That's my favorite part about it. Because if he beat Apollo, this would be a cheesy boxing movie.
Yep.
With some decent characters and some a very interesting romance between Rocky and Adrian. I'd still like that. If he beat Apollo and Adrian came out and it's like, I love you. And I'd be like, this is so stupid. It's so unrealistic.
It'd be like a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
That's why I hate
that. Exactly. Like, that's what makes this film cool, is that he loses the fight.
Fight Night is the next episode.
I have a suggestion.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys have seen the fight that this fight was based on.
The Chuck Wepner Ollie fight?
Would you be willing to do some homework and watch that before this? It might give some interesting context.
For sure.
Was Sly really in the crowd?
I think he was watching it on, I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
I've heard that he was in the crowd.
I haven't heard that.
I thought I heard he was in the crowd.
I mean, it costs a lot of money. Well, maybe not back then, but it's very expensive to go to sporting events.
Well,
and he was poor.
I don't know. I can never keep up with that guy. I love him, but I okay. That's not a bad idea. So remind us. I've seen clips.
I'll send you the link.
Yeah, send us the link. That's actually not a bad idea to see the fight that kind of the catapult for Sly's creation for this. Yeah. Yeah, we can look back at the footage, see if we can see Sly somewhere in the fight footage. That's funny.
I shared this link with Ryan the other day, or I think it was probably months ago, where it was like the Muhammad Ali Leon Spinks fight. Sly was famous at this point already. Right. So they interviewed him, he was watching it in the audience. And Sly's like, oh, it's a very strategic fight. Very strategic. He's like, they're not wasting no energy, that's for sure. And I'm like,
I love it.
God, it's so funny how much like his real personality goes into this movie.
Sure. That's funny.
Certain words he's a big fan of, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the end of this episode. So, again, support us via Discord or Facebook or Twitter, Patreon, and we're on YouTube. We're all those places. Thanks to those who watched this whole episode on Discord. Again, if you join us in Discord, you don't have to wait for the edit. You don't have to wait for the release, I guess, and you've already watched everything. So some people listen to both. I think some people do listen to both because they like to hear what I edit out, I guess. I don't know. All right, well, that's it. The episode is over.
I didn't hear no bell. I just want to say one thing.